Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show and best of the season.
Jim, thank you very much.
Tim, you've been saying in your research letters since the August high that it was not a long-term top and that your expectation was for it to be bettered. Now that's happened. Explain why you made that call and why such a move was expected.
Well, you know, as bearish as I am long-term with this, you know, long-term six economic cycle thing that I've been talking about and, you know, that discovery and, you know, this bubble of all bubbles, as we moved into July, some of the DNA markers, if you will, were lost with regard to the possibility of that having that move having kept a longer-term top, and certainly as we moved into August, you know, the final August high, you know, those markers, other markers were lost. So I knew based on that and statistics that, you know, if you see all these markers in association with previous longer-term tops and they weren't in place there, then if you have something that's occurred 100% of the time or even, you know, 90-plus percent of the time in a couple of cases with some of the markers, there's, a handful of things I was looking at, then odds are it wasn't the top. So it was a real simple call from my perspective on that. It was a hard call because, you know, everybody, it seems like a lot of people and a lot of people I respect were very bearish, thinking that we had seen a longer-term top. But looking at it, you know, and applying those statistics, I didn't think so. So, you know, it's based on my, you know, quantification of the things that I look at.
How does this move fit into the six long-term economic cycles you've identified?
Well, now what it does is it gives us, with that hurdle cleared, it kind of takes us into the next chapter, if you will, the next inning, and in that it's a new opportunity for it to set up for that, you know, for the dots to, for the DNA markers to appear and the dots to connect and you know, cap that six economic cycle. You know, whether it does, I don't know. How long it takes, I don't know. But I think we're now back in a window or a environment, I should say, where, you know, that can start to take hold.
So what do you expect going into the new year?
My expectation is that we do see this setup with, you know, or for this downturn out of the sixth economic cycle. You know, I will see it when I see it because there's things I have to, you know, looking at cyclical structure and some of those markers, you know, they appear when they appear. So there's things that I'm looking for that will tell me. And then, like I said, once I see that, then I need to see proper structure to tell me that a turn is taking place or a turn is taking place. You know, like give a couple of examples. In the summer of 07, I can't remember, I believe it was July or maybe August, there was a intermediate degree top, but we didn't have all the markers in place. And I said, no, we need another push up. And equities pushed up into, specifically the industrials pushed up into an October high. Those markers appeared. Then we had the structure, and I, you know, called it pretty much immediately at the top. And then the same thing in 2020. We needed that additional push up into January or February. We got it. And the markers were in place, and the structure fell in place quickly, and bada bing, bada boom, it happened. So we have to see, you know, all the boxes checked, if you will, for the, you know, the things I'm looking for, and that will appear when it appears. Now, my looking at it from a longer-term perspective, I'm not making a forecast on when those things are going to occur, but my expectation going into 2024 is that I think we see that happen at some point. It could happen quickly. It could be January, or maybe it's June. I don't know. But again, it'll happen when it happens. But I think we see weakness overall going into the election, is my hunch. I think that then coming after the election is over, I think that there's going to be some sort of a relief-type rally that everything's going to be okay now. And then I think the real carnage with that setup is going to happen after the election and into the next four-year cycle low as that next administration takes hold, you know, or takes over. So I think that what we're seeing, we've seen, 2023 was kind of a do-nothing year. We had the four-year cycle top in January of 22, and then we had the decline that followed, and then the advance out of that in last October, and then the advance, it proved to be of 2022. And that proved to be a short four-year cycle low. And then we've rallied. And by and large, if you look at a chart, we've just gone sideways. But I think this has been some sort of lull you to sleep type move, a hopium type advance. And you know, there may even be a new high out there. I'm not sure. But I think that, you know, everybody I'm hearing talk now, I actually did a Google search. The day the industrials moved above the August high, I did a search, and I found articles talking about a soft landing, and that kind of thing is starting to surface. But I think we see the setup in 2024 with this sixth economic cycle, and I think that's when the party begins.
Now, when they say a soft landing, whose definition is that? Like it's a recession, but not bad?
Well, yeah, that's what they were saying, and I forget. I read the official definition of a soft landing, and I cannot remember off the cuff what it said. But you know, basically, they dodged the bullet type thing, and they've managed to control inflation, and everything's good, and the economy's back on the upswing. But I saw articles, you know, Yellen had mentioned it in a comment or interview or something, and Powell was making comments, and they said top Goldman Sachs economist or Goldman economist or however it was worded said that. There were some articles in Wall Street Journal and I think Bloomberg, and so there that talk is out there that, you know, we've dodged the bullet and we're headed for a soft landing. But I think what we're headed for is, like I said, this has been kind of a calm before the storm type thing as we quietly set up for that sixth economic cycle downturn.
We'll have more with Tim Seckelsman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Seckelsman Wood. Tim, what about crude and the commodity complex?
Well, there is a three-year cycle I follow there. That cycle bottomed in May, in across the commodity complex, depending on exactly what you're looking at. I think the low was actually in May on the CRB, and I think it was actually in May on crude. But I wrote last December, in December of 22, that I was looking for that the three-year cycle low. And there was a window, you know, in of time that I was looking for it. And I said, I believe I said between April and like July or something like that. And we got it in May. Pretty well identified low, knew that low was in, that there would be a bounce in commodities. But now, you know, that advance is weakening and softening, and I think that this is also part of what they're talking about when they point to a soft landing, is that they're seeing equity prices have moved up, and we're seeing a softening in commodity prices, so everything's good. I mean, gasoline is back in the $2, yeah, it's a high $2, but it's back in the high $2 range, and the two something in this area, and a little lower in the neighboring state. And so I think people have the feeling that, you know, yeah, we have dodged a bullet and we're on the mends. But again, I think it's a false calm before the storm.
What's going on with gold?
Pretty much the same. The upswing, we had an intermediate term low in October. We may now have that intermediate term top. I'm not, I can't confirm it yet, but it's a possibility that it has already run its course. I don't know that for sure yet. As I said, that possibility is definitely on the table. I need to see some things to confirm that. But at a longer-term basis, there was there's a nine-year cycle, and it proved to have bottomed in early 22. And I think that we're going to see gold set up to go down with commodities in this deflationary downturn out of this long-term sixth economic cycle. You know, just like everything else, I think all asset classes are going to pretty much go down together into that low.
What do you see with interest rates?
That plays into this notion that we're having a soft landing. If looking at rates, it's pretty clear that they are trying to turn. I see difference. So far I did a piece in this last research letter explaining the importance of the long end versus the short end. But at this time, the long end is declining faster than the short end. So the yield curve is still very much inverted. But I think that's going to change. I think this is part of, like I said, the perception that it's the calm before the storm. But I do think interest rates have, particularly on the short end, I think they have made the turn. I think the short end is going to start to fall faster than the long end. And then I think because of the structure with bonds, the long bond, and I'm talking about the 30-year bond in particular, I think, there's some structural stuff that's broken there. So I think that this decline that we're seeing in interest rates on the long end, which, kind of plays into, mortgage rates and that sort of thing, I think that is counter trend, and that we're going to see that corrected. And once the smoke clears, and I believe that we're going to see the longer end interest rates higher relative to the short end. In other words, I think the short end is going to start to fall much faster than the long end, and the long end may actually rise some. So it's kind of a mixed bag of what's going on there, but that's what I see. And I think that'll all start to happen once the setup with this sixth economic cycle, starts to take hold.
When do you think this sixth economic cycle will begin deflating?
I think we're probably going to see the setup, and my expectation is 2024. It has tried to set up a couple of times. This sixth economic cycle, if we digress and talk about that just a little bit, this entire cycle was born out of the 2002 low. It has been fueled by the actions to try to bridge the gap, if you remember that term from way back, and all the intervention methods and government spending and so forth that we've seen to try to prevent the deflationary downturn out of that cycle. And it actually, coming out of the 2002 low, because of those efforts, it fueled the beginning of this sixth cycle. This sixth long-term economic cycle, it first tried to peak in 07. And we had the worst, financial crisis since the Great Depression. Everybody's forgotten about that. And that was the term they put on it. And they managed to save it, reinflate. And then the second attempt of the downturn out of this this fabricated cycle came in 2020, and then following COVID, they were able to again reinflate with the so-called stimulus, which is nothing but an expansion of debt. And through the government spending, they did save it and blew the bubble even bigger. And now I think we're moving into another with this August high bettered and what we're seeing with commodities and interest rates. I think we're moving into a window in 2024 for the setup to take place. And I think we face a third attempt at the downturn out of this long-term cycle. You see what the last two attempts yielded. So I think there's it is going to be an opportunity to prick the bubble. The question is the third time the charm? Can they save it again? Will it work? Can they do it? I don't know. But I do think that's what we face is the third attempt at the downturn as we move into 2024.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, thanks for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.